Let's return to Milo's Internet Marketing on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Milo's Internet Marketing Radio program on TalkZone.com. Please don't forget our website, milosinternetmarketing.com. A lot of great things there for you. A lot of things to look over. There's a Ask Andy button. Just click on that, and he will be glad to get back to you with your question. He'll give you the answer. We're going to talk about this segment a few things. We're going to start about blogging for making money. People often think of a blog as just a way to give information and talk about something that they have a passion for. Well, blogs can have many different names. The official name is weblog, but may also be called an online journal or just simply a blog. There are also many different types of blogs out there for the most part, but a blog is a website that's created by an individual person in a style kind of as a journal to add information every couple days. The blog in question may have blog posts made by the owner, or it can also have those added on by visitors. A blog post is an entry into the blog, just as one might make a journey, entry on a diary or some kind of a journal. It's dated, time-stamped, and contains graphics or links to other sites. So that's what a blog is. I'm sure all of you are familiar with blogs. And there's several ways of making money with blogs. One way is to look at a podcast on a blog. You can have an audio recording placed within that blog that kind of does what we talked about before, the headlines. It kind of grabs their attention. And then you have links to back to your website. A blog should only be in support of your website. You want to have an active website. That's important. But you also need blogs to kind of create an atmosphere of activity around your website. So you have your website, and then you have several blogs that are very similar in nature, similar keywords, so that a search engine will begin to look at your blogs and your website. And out of 10 spaces on Google, you might get 3 or 4 in the top 20. And if you do, that's good, because they'll be clicking on a couple of your links, and one of your blogs will send it to the other website that's important. You don't want to send a blog to a blog, because that's an intermediate step and people don't want to do that. You want to get people to go to your website. You want your people to purchase your product. You want people to purchase your service. So the blog is to support your website. Now, if you have the website, it depends on how you develop your website. If you just want to sell your product very clearly, very distinctly, and make it a one object or two or three objects that you're selling and not have a lot of clutter, the blog is a good way to do that. That's going to attract them to go back. That's going to feed them the information necessary to purchase the product. You can also have a link from the website back to the blog. For more information, check out this website. Then that'll have information on there. You can do a lot of advertising on your blog. If it's your own blog, you create your own blog, you do whatever you want. But the nice thing is that you can have a blog, have other people post entries in there. My suggestion, of course, is to make sure you become the administrator of it and you clear the blogs before they're put on to make sure that it's something that's appropriate or something that fits, something that is complementary. It's very negative. You certainly don't want that posting to go up. You want to put good postings, but you don't want to pad it yourself, because people can sort through and find out where these blogs are coming from, and you don't want to post post your information on there, but you don't want to answer as a person on the blog. So there's just a lot of things that blogging will do to help you make money. The blog in itself doesn't make you money, but it sends people to your website, and your website, of course, is designed to set up to make money. The thing you want to do is you want to have some AdSense ads on your blog. In other words, if you're selling shoes, you go to Google AdSense, get some ads placed on your website from Google that also sells maybe not shoes but shoe products, laces and different things for shoes, And then when people click on those ads, they get paid. However, you do not want to click on the ads yourself because Google will shut you down. They keep track of where those clicks are coming from. So if you click on those to try to feed yourself more money by clicking on those ads, Google's going to shut you down real fast. And once they do, they have a couple things. They have your name, your website address, plus they have the IP address of your computer. So when you try to go on as a different person several months later, they will still keep you from getting on there because they have your website, a number, the IP address, and they know that you've been kind of playing around with clicking on Google AdSense. So when you place those ads, you hopefully other people will, if they don't want to buy your shoes, they'll go to these other links. Or you could have a link for you're selling shoes for boots, for whatever, maybe umbrellas to go with that, or for socks. So you get different things to sell on your website. So you not only sell your shoes, but you have a chance of making some money with selling other products. The other thing that's very important is to make sure that once you change the content on your blog that you have you ping it. And what you could do is go to the word in a Google search for ping, find a place that will ping these for you, and whenever you have a change in your blog or a posting, some will set up automatically that will ping. Others you have to go to that ping point and give them your web address every time. But what the ping does is send out a spider link to all of the search engines that says, hey, he updated his blog. And so it keeps the Google and the search engine very happy. If you don't change your blog, it just sits there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're going to be dropped off of that first page because you're inactive. And if your blog is inactive, they're not going to keep you up there ranked well. So you need to change it. Even if you just change the graphic, change a headline, you don't have to change a lot, but just show that there's activity on the blog or on your website too. It really will help a lot. People tend to put up a website, sit back, and relax. Well, you can do that, but you're going to lose search engine ranking if you don't change something on that website. Want to talk a little bit about keywords. We can't talk enough about keywords. Certain keywords are or phrases that people type into a search engine lead to hundreds and hundreds of search results that pertain to the specific keyword. Businesses that want to advertise on the net using a pay-per-click campaign have to come up with a plethora of keywords that is associated with the business that they are running. So when potential customers type in keywords that match their website, it'll lead them to your business site. This is pretty much the whole concept of pay-per-click advertising. This is how a pay-per-click campaign brings traffic to your site with your selection of the right keywords that people can search through the net. And when you talk about a pay-per-click campaign, it's the same as putting up your website. You need all those same keywords in your website. Some keywords tend to be more expensive than others when using pay-per-click, especially popular ones. It is vital to select the right keywords in order to get your money's worth, but it's pay-per-click is a great way to get your campaign started. You put up a website. If you go to pay-per-click, you're going to get people to your site. Right away, you're going to start building a nice list. There are a lot of experts that specialize in PPC campaign management. They come with strategic plans and assess the needs of their clients. Then they come up with a PPC campaign that caters to their client's specifications. So either way, if you want to really take the time to drill into keywords, you can certainly do it yourself. I would suggest the first couple times you do this, it's not real expensive, to get some, just put PPC campaign in the Google search engine, and they'll send you some sites that help you with your campaign. This is why big online businesses seek the expertise of professionals to run their PPC ad campaign, because the right set of plans can potentially bring you large amounts of profits, a lot of visitors. The more keywords you have, the more you increase your chances of customers clicking on these keywords, and that would lead them to your website. There is also some software you can purchase, such as GoToast and BidRank. These software programs track down your keyword listing. It's good to know which keywords are working and which keywords aren't. Google has their own internal search, but these are much more sophisticated searches and researching of your keywords. If you're running a business online and you're planning to run a pay-per-click campaign, it's advisable to purchase keywords that are extremely related to the theme of your business. That way, people know what they are getting and don't get confused about the content of your website. The secret is to use keywords or phrases that are searched frequently but cost very little. That's a difficult balance sometimes. The chances are the longer people stay on your site, the likelihood of these potential customers making a transaction rises, plus the fact that they'll tend to come back to that site because they're spending time on it, they'll like it. But the first thing you have to do, you have to lure them to your site. They just won't jump there automatically. That's why a lot of internet marketers spend a large amount of budget on advertising, because they know that the right advertising campaign can set the ball rolling for good profits and good conversion rate. Also, you should do some research before you start your pay-per-click campaign. There are a lot of pay-per-click search engines to choose from. Those who are less renowned charge less for some keywords. Ask.com is about half the price of Google, but then you don't get the large percentage of viewers and searchers, but it does give you a chance to wet your whistle and kind of learn how to set up a pay-per-click campaign at a much cheaper rate. Most PPC search engines require a monthly payment in exchange for their services, but if you fail to make payments, they'll automatically take your listing out of their search engines. So make sure that you pay your month's bills, because the second it's overdue, your campaign is gone. So all the efforts you put into it kind of will fall by the wayside. So it's important that you keep the search going. But you don't want to do it for many months. Maybe 3 months would be the limit, and then step back a little bit. The potential earnings can be generated by starting a pay-per-click campaign is significant. That's why a lot of online businesses are trying to get into the act using pay-per-click. With the right set of keywords and a smart pay-per-click campaign management, more than ever, online businesses are bringing in big bucks because you're getting a lot of visitors to your site. Once they get to your site, then you have to send them information and send them an email. We're going to talk a little bit about emails that get results. It's so important. When you think about it, there are only two components of an email: who it's from and the subject. Those are two important things. Out of these two, the from line is by far the biggest influence on whether someone will open your email or not. Think about your own situation. When you open your email, whatever it is, whether it's AOL or whatever it is, and you see you've got 50 emails sitting there, which ones do you open first? I'll bet you tend to open the ones where you recognize the name and you really want to open their emails because it's a familiar name. Well, that's the same situation when you got to aim to whether you want to get people to open your email. You've got to build up your name first. It really doesn't matter what you wrote in the subject line. You've got to get them to open it first. So the name is important. And there's several ways you do that. You make a name or give yourself a name that's somewhat related to your product. That's important. And make your first emails out to them when you have an autoresponder or something like that. The first emails are very informative and give them lots of information. Be very nice to them. Polite. Don't try to sell anything to them in the first three things. In fact, in the first one or two, give them something free if you can. That's going to make them, when they see your name, milo@gmail.com, they're going to think, oh, I remember him. He sent me some stuff last time. I'm going to open that. If it's freeinformation.com, you're going to think, I'm not sure I want to open this. But when someone comes to the subject line, make it relevant and make it personal. So once they've got your email open because they know it's from you because you've sent them some nice emails, now you have to get to the subject line and make it personal. Here's what not to put. This is amazing. You've just got to send this to your list. This is important. I'm going to change your life. You don't want to do that in the subject line. If you do that, people are going to be clicked off right away. You want to make it to be very attractive to what they're looking at and very soft sell. A good thing when you put it from somebody, make it personal. From Milo. My name is Milo. This is Milo's email. So the trick is to make it look like it's been written for them, from you. That makes it a little more personal. If it's more personal, there's a little bit better chance that they're going to open it. If you just send out something from AWeber or GetResponse to hundreds of thousands of people, they're far less likely to open if they think, oh, 50 other people got that same thing or 100,000 other people got it. But if it looks very personalized, it's going to make a difference. Of course, when you analyze it further, there are other factors which come into play. One of these may be which email addresses you are sending them to. That's another thing. You want to do some research. Find out, because you can through different products, find out what email system they're using. Or they might have three or four email addresses. Which one do they open the most? A lot of people have one for personal stuff and one for just catch-all things. So you want to be able to, by careful observance of what emails people open and which ones they don't, what emails you have for them, email addresses, which one do they respond to more. So make sure you send it to the good list. And if it's a list that people aren't opening really, then delete that from your AWeber account or GetResponse account and just send to the one that they open for personal information. Don't always expect to get immediate reply. It just doesn't work that way. If they don't reply, wait a few days and send a follow-up. You can tell if they opened it up. If they didn't open up after the third time, that they're not going to open up your email. You want to try a different tactic or wait a month or so. But don't expect immediate reply. People get an email. They look at it. They'll set it aside. If they see the third or fourth one come to you and they're pleased with the couple ones you've sent so far, then they might respond. So give them time. Don't ever write back the second time or third time saying, you haven't replied yet. Time to reply now. You must reply. No, you're really bugging them. You're pounding on their door, and they don't like that. So just give it time for them to fester. It's like cooking something on the stove. You just let it simmer for a while, and then it'll come up and make them want to open it. Remember, it's got to be personalized. So many emails we find that we get are just kind of junk. They're catch-all things. You get on a list somewhere. It's like junk mail in the U.S. Post Office. You purchase something. The next couple of days, you get all kinds of things that are very similar. Same way on the Internet. You purchase something or you link to something, and right away you get a lot of emails. So you've got to take time and build that personal rapport in your emailing, because the email is what sells the products. When you get to, they get to your website and they request information and they get it back, they want to feel comfortable with what you're selling them. They want to feel comfortable with what you're telling them. They want to feel comfortable that if they do business with you, they will get what they're paying for, that they will get the service or the product that they expect. So the offer is important. Exactly. That should be the last thing, though. The first thing is the who's it from, and then the subject, and then give them time to answer it, and then after the third or fourth email, then send them the offer. So just things to look at in setting up a business. There's a lot to it, but it's also fun, it's enlightening, and it's challenging. So we're going to challenge Andy for some questions very shortly. We'll be back. You're listening to Milo's Internet Marketing Radio Program on TalkZone.com.